Well, this Advent season, we've been working our way through the gifts of Christmas. And so far, we've looked at something that we all want for Christmas. Something that we all want, and that's hope. We want to have hope. We want to have a real sense that there's something more to life, that there's something more that God is going to do and to bless our life with. And we know that the people in Jesus' day, were before he came, were living in that place of hopefulness that God would bring about the deliverer. Yes, and, oh, I meant to mention, if there are any children today that would like to go to the back and sit with Susan, she has some activities there for you through the time of the message, and so please feel free to do so. Also, you know, we've been looking at the second thing, the second gift of Christmas, and that's something that we all desire, perfect peace. Wouldn't it be great if we all had peace, not just peace in the world because of all the conflicts and the difficulties and the struggles that are all around us, nations rising against nations, all those things that we see happening in the world, but a peace in our own hearts because of the personal struggles that we have, the challenges that we face in life. And isn't it great to know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace? He is the one that settles our hearts as we fix our hearts and our minds on him, especially when we go through those difficult times in life. The peace of God that passes all understanding is with us in Jesus. And then we looked at last week, something to wear. You know, at Christmas time, we all, we all look for those gifts of things to wear. I know my daughters love to be their dad's fashion consultant and always giving something new for me to wear. But, you know, the thing that we looked at last week that we wear is what? Because of Jesus, we have that effervescent joy. And joy is that gift that Jesus brings that we wear every day, that smile on our face, that lightness in our hearts, that joy, abundant joy. Now, these are the gifts that we've looked at so far. And in our time today, we're going to look at another question that we have usually at Christmas time. And is it, well, what do we really need this year? You know, whenever I, usually around the middle of November, I usually send a text message out to my kids. What do you need for Christmas this year? What do you need? What would you like for Christmas that would help you out? And they usually get back to me with their list of things that they need for Christmas. But the question we ask today is what do we really need for Christmas this year? I mean, and that can be something that we as a family need, or it could be something that you need personally. But what is it that we really need? You know, a number of years ago, actually back in 1966, when I was still just a little 5-year-old. Back then, but a song was written by David Howe and Burt Bacharach, and it was sung by Dionne Warwick, and it answered this question for a whole generation of people who had been through a couple world wars, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and there was a lot of hostility and unrest in the world even back then in 1966. Anybody remember 19... Oh, some of you remember 1966? Not a lot of us now, but it was a real time. And what was it? What was the song? Do you remember what the song was? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Remember that song? Yeah, I can see you remember that song. And, you know, the words of that song were a prayer. Actually, you know, they were a prayer. This hit the top 10 and it went way up there because it just really resonated with people, but it was actually written as a prayer. And these were the words. It says, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hills enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. But what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and mountain beams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you want to know. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, not just for some, but for everyone, everyone." You know, it seems like this song was written a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, at a different place in time. However, the need is still there. It's still the same. There are different social conditions today, different world issues to overcome, but still the same thing we need in this world today. Wouldn't you agree? It's love, sweet love, genuine love for one another. But where are we to find this much-needed gift of love? Now, isn't it great to know that there's an answer to that question? Where do we find this sweet, sweet love? Well, I believe that it's in the story that we have been looking at, the story of Christmas. You know, I believe the old saying is true, everything old is new again. Everything old is new again. For the answer to that question is found in the event that happened over 2,000 years ago, an event that had an impact on the way that we mark the passage of time. An event that caused a whole generation and subsequent generations to reconsider the connection between faith, devotion to God, and love for one another. And that event was the birth of Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul tells us that when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. You know, when God's gift of perfect love arrived on the scene, what started as a tense conversation between Joseph and his soon-to-be wife, Mary, who were two obscure and unknown people in their day, became an opportunity for faith and love to work together to transform the world. In Matthew 1:18-19, we read this part of the Christmas story. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, He had in mind to divorce her quietly. What a dilemma. What a dilemma. Joseph, you know, I can just imagine when he first heard the words from Mary, "I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit." What do you think would have gone through his mind? Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That has never happened. I'm sure in that moment, his heart skipped a beat. Thoughts of anger and disappointment may have flooded his mind. He was a human being. He was human. And in response, he could have been outraged. He could have been outraged, and he could have reacted negatively, demanding that the full force of Jewish law be imposed on Mary, her family, and all associated with her. You know what the full extent of the law would have been? She wouldn't have just been shunned. I mean, she would have been caught in adultery, which would have, according to the Jewish law, would have been that she would have been taken out and stoned to death. But Joseph, you know, he could have chosen to humiliate and disgrace her publicly. But instead, out of respect for Mary, he considered the alternative. I'll just divorce you quietly. We'll just deal with this quietly. We'll just move on. But thankfully, Joseph, as he considered all his options, he felt that this would be probably the best for everyone involved, but he decided, I'm going to sleep on it. I'm going to sleep on it. I'm not going to act rashly. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to just get one more good night's sleep. Or maybe not a good night's sleep. But I'm going to sleep on it. Before he would take this step, he would sleep on it. And he would take his action, do his actions in the morning. You know, sometimes it's good when we have gone through a big upset, or, you know, within our family relationships, when there's things that have been said or done, and, you know, there's anger, frustration, there's all kinds of those things that happen. Anybody ever have those things happen in your marriage relationships, in your kids' relationship with your kids? You know, it's always better to sleep on it. To take a few moments to just reflect and seek wisdom and discernment. Well, Joseph slept on it. And that night, something miraculous happened. He had a life-transforming dream. And in Matthew 1, 20 to 23, we read this. He says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, when Joseph awoke the next morning, he was now confronted with a dilemma. He was confronted with the fact that he had to choose to either follow his instinct and pursue the divorce quietly, or to step out in faith, faithful obedience to the command the angel of the Lord had given him. An act of love toward Mary, receiving her as his wife and accepting the child in her womb as the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. What a choice. You know, this was a real choice that he had to make. Do I step out in faith and love, or do I act in judgment and actually punishment for sin? What do I do? How do I handle this? You know, I find it really interesting that the angel's words to Joseph spoke directly to his biggest fear in life. The fear of being judged by God and others. And that would come about if he were to take Mary as his wife, and if to fulfill what the angel had said, he would have to face possible ridicule from other people. All the social pressures. He was afraid of the social pressures and the stigma that would stick to them if he were to accept her for who she was, pregnancy and all, because everybody else knew what Mary was going through as well. And so he was faced with this decision. And here's the thing, the angel of the Lord, what was the angel of the Lord asking of Joseph? The angel of the Lord was instructing him to choose between love over judgment, grace over the letter of the law. What would he choose to do? What would you choose to do? Love or judgment, grace or the letter of the law. In 1 John 4, 15 to 18, John writes this. He says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, the angel of the Lord was instructing Joseph to embrace the love of God at work in Mary. You get that? He was saying, God is at work in Mary. God's love is at work in Mary. He was asking him to allow the love that was being delivered for the whole world to be born. And he would have a part in that. By receiving Mary, he was making the choice to receive the gift of perfect love that casts out all fear. Just by accepting Mary and the circumstances, he would be allowing God to pour out his love in a way that was so unexpected. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, we read that when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Jesus. You know, Joseph chose love over judgment. And he will forever be remembered for letting go of his fears, trusting faith in God, and his selfless act of protective, loving care toward Mary and the baby Jesus, not only while he was in her womb, but also afterwards. When Joseph again had a dream, and the angel of the Lord told him, you've got to get the child, Mary and the child to safety. Get out of here. Herod is going to try to kill him. And Joseph, that protective love, sheltered them, took them, and cared for them. Henry Nouwen has said this: how different would our life be if we could believe that every little act of faithfulness, every gesture of love, every word of forgiveness, every little bit of joy and peace will multiply and multiply as long as there are people to receive it. You know, Joseph is an example to us of someone who was willing to go that extra distance to express that love for Mary and the baby Jesus. You know, the Apostle John reminds us that we know and rely on the love of God that he has for us. What a profound statement of confidence that we have in the love that God has demonstrated for us in Jesus. The abundant love of God is something that we can know and rely on because it flows from the very center of God's being. It is perfect and holy love, steadfast and true, and it's God's essence. This love that God has for us. And if we live in love, we live in God, and God lives in us. This is the symbiotic relationship that occurs when we embrace the gift of God's love given to us in Jesus. And when we begin to live in Jesus' love, we begin to experience the very presence of God in our lives. As we experience God's living presence, the abundance of his love for us, there is a complete transformation that takes place within us. Something changes. We begin to awaken to our true self, who we really are, as dearly loved children of God. You know, as we learn to love, as we've been loved by God, our confidence and our security deepens. It displaces our fear of not being good enough, not doing enough, the fear of failing and continuing to fall short of the kingdom of God. It transforms us, the love of God that is in Jesus. It's because of the great love that the Father has lavished on us in and through Jesus Christ that we have now been passed from death unto life. And therefore, the Apostle Paul teaches this in Romans 8, 1 to 4. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know, the fear of judgment, punishment, condemnation has now been forever put to rest in Christ on our behalf. And as far as God is concerned, as far as God is concerned, God sees us like he sees Jesus. Whole, complete, and perfect. Freed from the law of sin and death. Freed to embrace a whole new way of being in the love of Christ. Perfect love has cast out all of our fears. What a perfect gift of love for the world. A gift of love that radically transforms us from within and gives us a whole new mandate for action. See, when we embrace the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, and it really begins to take hold in our life and it becomes a way of being, then it has an impact on other people around us. And we begin to see this in 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 to chapter 5, verse 5, where John reminds us that we love because who? Because he first loved us. Who? Jesus. God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, this is the part of the Christmas story, the gospel, that we often get all messed up. We often get it messed up. We often think that we have to have our whole life sorted out, you know, with God. You know, we get it all sorted out, get all everything all put in place so that God can love us and so that then we can in turn love other people. But, you know, that's not how the story went, especially with Joseph. The story of Joseph reminds us that even Jesus' parents had to discover this truth for themselves, the truth that our faith and love must work hand in hand. You know, when he received the command from the angel of the Lord that night in his dream, Joseph recognized that it was a call to let go of his fears, all the social stigmas and the pressures, all the inner dialogue in his morass, that place where we kind of get all messed up in our mind. And it was a call for him to have faith in God, to put his devotion to God to the test. And what was the test? The test of love and obedience. Love for God demonstrated by his love for Mary and the baby Jesus in her womb. God was calling him to have faith and to love hand in hand. So this Christmas, as we come back full circle to that first question that we asked, what do you need for Christmas this year? What do you need? What does your family need this Christmas? What do your neighbors need this Christmas? You know, that song just keeps going through my mind. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, the love that is found in Jesus, the love that has been born in each one of our hearts when we make room for Jesus, just like Joseph had to make room in his life for Mary and the baby, even under the most difficult circumstances that he'd ever faced in his life. Difficult decisions, choices. But he chose love. And it's the kind of love that Jesus came to deliver. We've already read this morning earlier on, but a very familiar verse to us today. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And as John tells us in 1 John 4, 10 to 12, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And therefore, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. For no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And this is the gift of redeeming love that has come to each one of us. And it's yours for the receiving this Christmas.